Today is Laetare Sunday. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book to the Galatians, St. Paul, chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. He of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory, for these are the two testaments. The one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. By the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And the Holy Gospel. Gospel is taken from St. John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus, therefore, went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus, therefore, had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were sat down, in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And lifting up his eyes and seeing that a very great multitude had come up to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Words taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, Jerusalem is a figure of heaven. And so the words of Isaiah, which we read in today's Mass in the introit, the very opening words of the Mass, tell Jerusalem to rejoice. But we, as members of the church, through baptism and being heirs of heaven, are called on this day through the liturgy to also rejoice. Isaiah goes on to say, "Rejoice with joy, you that have been in sorrow." The fast and the abstinence of the Lenten season, the continual striving day after day to hold fast to our good resolutions, which we made, to go through day by day our meditations, the prayers which we pray more than normal during this Lenten tide, to even meditate on the sorrows experienced by the Blessed Mother. This can bring us to a certain sorrow. We can experience difficulty and then, over time, a certain sorrow from having had to fight against our human nature, our lower nature, which always is striving to avoid anything which touches on the difficult. But today the church has her priests read these words of Isaiah. And the priest reads them, as you notice in the Missal, in the very opening prayer of the Mass. "Rejoice, O Jerusalem, that you may exult." So notice we are given the reason for rejoicing. So that we may exult. To exult means to rejoice, to have happiness. And today we are encouraged then to continue to hold fast to our Lenten resolutions. Not only in the introit do we read about this rejoicing which Holy Mother Church wants us to have, but also in the Gospel of the Mass. You'll notice we have reason to rejoice. And our Lord, in working one of his greatest miracles, shows us his divine providence, that we are never without a good shepherd. Our Lord is always with us. And perhaps this comes to us as a helpful reminder to those amongst us, perhaps, who have a certain worry or become anxious in the world today, looking at what's going to happen. We can look at things that are going to happen, we become worried. We can even look at things that have happened and then worry. But in all cases, we could think of that today in relationship to the gospel. Even amongst traditional Catholics who follow and are sometimes they allow themselves to be gripped by the political situations in the world. And although the condition of the world today, in a certain sense, is quite serious, we can sometimes be like the apostles and have the same worries. It happens. If it happened to the apostles, it will happen to us. But rather than give in to this worry, this anxiety which comes, we ought to be always mindful. In other words, what's the answer? What's the way to overcome this? And it is to think of what our Lord said and to think of what our Lord did, both. In today's gospel, our Lord was looking for someone who would have confidence in him. That's what he was looking for. And he did not find it. He asked his apostles, he asked Philip in particular, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And the evangelist, St. John, gave the reason. He said he was trying to try him. Our Lord was looking to exercise him. He wanted to see what St. Philip would say because, of course, as he said, our Lord knew what he would do, being God. And he didn't ask anyone. He didn't just ask some random person. Our Lord asked Philip because Philip was candid, he was open, and he was docile. He was able to be taught. He listened. He wanted to learn. As opposed to asking the others who tended to be more subtle and sharp-witted. But Philip did not give our Lord the confidence that he looked for. 200 pennyworth is not sufficient that all these may eat. He didn't know what to do. But my dear friends, divine providence, which governs everything in the world, today in the Mass, we see a clear manifestation of this divine providence of our Lord. That our Lord, who knew all things, saw all those people. And what happened? Before they left, he fed every single one of them. So much so that they had enough food to fill baskets afterwards. That is a proof of our Lord's providence for his people, for us. With only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, our Lord then blessed the bread, distributed, and they multiplied. Notice also that in the gospel that St. John said 5,000 men were fed. That number does not include the women and children who were present. There were more women present because women are more devout and fervent than men. And that also goes along with the children who would have accompanied the women. So there were thousands of people who hungered, and our Lord fed every single one of them. An amazing miracle. Astounding. And it moves us to marvel. We actually catch ourselves thinking about it and considering what this great miracle was which our Lord worked. Now, to further explain this, St. Augustine, in his sermon, said in his commentary on this miracle, he said that the governance of the whole world is a greater miracle than the feeding of 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. To think about that for a minute. What that means. To govern the world is a greater miracle than to feed thousands of men from virtually nothing. And he says, men marvel. Now again, St. Augustine was in the 400s. St. Augustine lived at the end of the 4th century, and he died near 431. But to think that the people who lived at that time were exactly the same with regards to us in our time, because human nature doesn't change. And therefore, his people marveled at this great miracle. But St. Augustine tried to get them to see the reality of the situation. He says, people don't marvel at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, not because it is a greater miracle, but he says because it is more rare. It rarely happens. And when it does, it strikes us. But to think, he says, who is it that now feeds the whole universe except him who creates loaves, from a few grains? Who is it that makes the rain fall on the farms that produces food? Who is it that, if he stopped thinking at all, we would cease breathing? We would go out of existence. How much we depend upon our Savior for our very life, everything, our thoughts, actions, our health, our sickness, which he allows, which is 24/7. It is every second of every day. Our Lord governs us. That is what St. Augustine says is a greater miracle than to feed these 5,000 we read about in today's gospel. Perhaps some of you have heard of the book called The Spiritual Combat. If you have not read it or read through it, it is a book which you should read. And it says in the sixth chapter that man cannot perform his duty unless the hand of the Almighty sustain him. So think about our duties, what we have to do day after day after day, repetitiously perform these duties, day in and day out, night in and night out, perhaps. And it says, man cannot perform those duties unless God sustains him. And it goes further. It says, as often as any good action is to be done, temptation to be overcome, dangers to be avoided, crosses to be borne, according to the will of God. And then it sort of concludes this with, he says, this truth must be kept in mind every day, hour, and moment of our life. That is, for us, our guide. That's our guide. That should be our mode of operation. To see that in all of its truth, that all things happen according to the will of God. God allows it or God wills it. In all cases, we are his. We are his people. We are his sheepfold. And he is the good shepherd. If we are faithful to this admonition in the spiritual combat, we will not let ourselves become anxious. We will not allow ourselves to, as we see what's going on in the world, the difficulties, all the horrendous occurrences which take place, we will not allow ourselves to fall victims to anxiety or despair in its worst case. Because the wisdom of this world, St. Paul says, is foolishness with God. We should think of that when we catch ourselves getting caught up with worldly things. St. John says, for all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let us, my dear friends, keep before our eyes the truth that divine providence wills or allows all things. Because then, how can we allow ourselves to become impatient? How can we allow ourselves to become upset? Knowing that God is in charge of every single situation ought to prevent us from becoming angry, from becoming perturbed, losing our peace of soul. But this requires that we keep it in our mind every day, hour, and moment of life. Continuously being mindful of the divine providence of necessity brings confidence. It has to. We cannot help but have greater confidence in our Lord when we remember situations like today in the Mass. No food. People have to go home. People have to get to their next meal. Maybe they missed the first two meals of the day to get there. And our Lord fed every single one of them. He is the Good Shepherd. And being members of his flock, let us have confidence in his eternal providence. If we look more to divine providence, we will more easily fulfill the will of God. It has to happen. And knowing that we are doing God's will, the very fact that we know it, we can say, I'm doing God's will right now. This is what he wants me to do. This is what he wants me to suffer. That knowledge brings content. And we will be more at peace. And then we cannot help but say with the Mass, Laetare, rejoice. And finally, as it says in the book of Hebrews, go therefore with confidence to the throne of grace, which is here on our altar, the tabernacle, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in seasonable time. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.